Please take your Bible and turn once again to Psalm 29. Psalm 29, it's on page 461 in the Church Bibles. This morning we covered mainly the first two verses of this psalm, focusing on the worship of God. And tonight we return our attention to this psalm, but focusing on the voice of the Lord, the word of the Lord. And once again, we will read the whole psalm, so please give your full attention to God's inspired, infallible, and inerrant word. Ascribe to the Lord, O heavenly beings, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders, the Lord over many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. The Lord breaks the cedars of Lebanon. He makes Lebanon to skip like a calf and Syrian like a young wild ox. The voice of the Lord flashes forth flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord makes the deer give birth and strips the forests bare. And in his temple all cry glory. The Lord sits enthroned over the flood. The Lord sits enthroned as king forever. May the Lord give strength to his people. May the Lord bless his people with peace. Indeed, may God bless unto us now the reading and the preaching of his holy word. Well, beloved congregation in our Lord Jesus Christ, once again, I would draw your thoughts to the Psalms we've seen before this. Do you remember what David prayed in Psalm 28, verse 1? He said, "To you, O Lord, I call, my rock, be not deaf to me, lest if you be silent to me, I become like those who go down to the pit." David asked the Lord not to be silent to him, and here in Psalm 29, the Lord is definitely not silent. This morning we heard the drumbeat of Psalm 29 in verses 1 and 2. Ascribe to the Lord, ascribe to the Lord, ascribe to the Lord, worship the Lord. Well, in verse 3, the drumbeat continues, but now it changes to the voice of the Lord. In verses 3 through 9, this phrase appears seven times, the voice of the Lord. For not only is the Lord himself glorious and strong, but his voice is glorious and strong. His voice is sovereign, even over the storm. That is the imagery David now places before us. As one commentator writes, the picture is that of the Lord calling forth a powerful storm as it forms over the waters of the Mediterranean Sea and moves inland. Look at verse 3. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord over many waters. Verse 3 is full of terrifying imagery. First, there are the waters. In the ancient Near East, the sea was a place of chaos and peril. Sailors went out never to return from those dangerous waters. Strange creatures slithered in the depths. Isaiah 27:1 speaks of Leviathan, the dragon that is in the sea. Now, whoever he is, I sure do not want to meet him. But perhaps even more terrifying than the waters themselves is the sound that roars over them. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders. And if you know your Bible well, this likely brings your thoughts to the nation of Israel at Mount Sinai, when there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud on the mountain and a very loud trumpet blast, so that all the people in the camp trembled. Then Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet God, and they took their stand at the foot of the mountain. Now Mount Sinai was wrapped in smoke because the Lord had descended on it in fire, and the whole mountain trembled greatly. And as the sound of the trumpet grew louder and louder, Moses spoke, and God answered him in thunder. Congregation, on that day, the voice of the Lord thundered forth 10 commandments to God's people. And how did the people respond? Scripture says, when all the people saw the thunder and the flashes of lightning and the sound of the trumpet and the mountain smoking, the people were afraid and trembled. And they stood far off and they said to Moses, "You speak to us and we will listen. But do not let God speak to us, lest we die." What a frightening experience it was for them to hear the thundering voice of the Lord. But did you know that God still speaks today? His voice continues to be heard even over all the chaos of this present evil age. And to the worldly person, to the unbeliever, his voice is terrible. The Lord constantly warns those who refuse to repent of their sins, saying, "Because of your hard and impenitent heart, you are storing up wrath for yourself on the day of wrath when God's righteous judgment will be revealed." The Lord confronts those who love the things of this world more than they love Him by asking, "What will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul?" The Lord declares the end of the ungodly. "As for the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, as for murderers, the sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars, their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death." Thus the voice of the Lord thunders forth even today. But how does the unbeliever respond to his awesome voice? By suppressing the truth in unrighteousness. When the voice of the Lord thundered forth through the preaching of Stephen in the book of Acts, how did the wicked respond? They cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and rushed together at him. Then they cast him out of the city and stoned him. O Church of Jesus Christ, the sea of wicked humanity is determined to prevent God's voice from being heard. And so what do? They cover their ears and scream as loudly as they can. But does this do them any good? Look again at your Bible. What does verse 3 say? The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders, the Lord, over many waters. However these waters may rage and foam, and no matter how many these waters may be, they cannot keep the voice of the Lord from sounding forth. In Isaiah 55:11, God says, "My word shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it." What a comfort this is in days such as these, when so many people will no longer endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions and turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. Despite all the apostasy, nevertheless, the true word of God is yet preached. The voice of the Lord is still heard. And so the voice of the Lord thunders over many waters. And verse 4 teaches us yet more about the voice of the Lord. First, the voice of the Lord is powerful. When He speaks, you can feel the electricity in the air. His voice has power to truly affect change and change lives. Second, the voice of the Lord is full of majesty. His is a kingly voice, a voice that rings out over and above all other voices. Like the roar of a mighty lion, His voice inspires awe and moves the hearts of His people to worship Him. But now in verse 5, we begin to see just how powerful His voice actually is. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. The Lord breaks the cedars of Lebanon. His voice is powerful to effect real change in the world. Like a tornado that rips through a town, it completely changes the landscape. It tears up gigantic trees from their roots, rips them in pieces, and deposits them miles and miles away. And so our God does to his foes. Exodus 15:6 says, "Your right hand, O Lord, glorious in power, your right hand, O Lord, shatters the enemy." Friend, do not be deceived. The Lord will come to judge the living and the dead. However, this power of his word to break things is not only a matter of judgment. Congregation, by his powerful word, our Lord also graciously breaks human hearts, something which needs to happen to us in order that we might be saved. The Lord afflicts us, his people, for our good. And David, our psalmist, knew this. In Psalm 51:17, David writes, "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise." Believer, by his word, the Lord breaks you that you might see your sin and misery and come to Christ for forgiveness. He breaks you so that he might revive the spirit of the lowly and the heart of the contrite. Oh, we tend not to enjoy being broken by the word of God, but we sure need it. For God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Think about this. Could it be that the Lord cuts down the proud cedars of Lebanon in order to make something even greater of them, perhaps even a beautiful temple for his worship? And could it be that he is humbling your proud heart in order to make something even greater of you? This also gives us hope for others. If the Lord can break down those mighty cedars of Lebanon, is there any heart so hard that God cannot break it by the power of his word? Surely not. And so let us keep trusting in him. Keep praying that he will powerfully change things by his word, for he is able to do so. Moving on to verse 6, here's the second way the voice of the Lord affects real change in the world. It actually moves mountains. He makes Lebanon to skip like a calf and Syrian like a young wild ox. Lebanon and Syrian were regions of mountains, and so even the mountains seem to quake and skip away in terror from the storm of God's word. The message here is that the people and nations which seem so stable, so secure, like mountains, as if they might last forever, well, in reality, they will cower in fear. And they will utterly collapse when God sends forth his mighty word. Revelation chapter 18 describes the fall of Babylon the Great. "So will the great city be thrown down with violence and will be found no more. And the sound of harpists and musicians, of flute players and trumpeters will be heard in you no more. And a craftsman of any craft will be found in you no more. And the sound of the mill will be heard in you no more, and the light of a lamp will shine in you no more, and the voice of bridegroom and bride will be heard in you no more, for your merchants were the great ones of the earth, and all nations were deceived by your sorcery. And in her was found the blood of prophets and of saints and of all who have been slain on earth." Congregation, a great day of judgment draws near, when the pride of men shall be laid low. The mountains will be flattened. Those who presently stand so tall and proud will scatter and flee before the coming of the Lord. They will skip away like a calf or a young wild ox. At the command of his voice, they will dance like puppets on a string. However, I love the way Spurgeon applies this quality of God's powerful word to the gospel of his grace. Spurgeon writes, "The glorious gospel of the blessed God has more than equal power over the rocky obduracy and mountainous pride of man. The voice of our dying Lord rent the rocks and opened the graves. His living voice still works like wonders. Glory be to his name. The hills of our sins leap into his grave and are buried in the red sea of his blood when the voice of his intercession is heard. Friends, isn't that beautiful? Praise God for his grace to us in Jesus Christ, for every obstacle standing between us and the Father is removed by him, the powerful word of God. Well, next, verse 7 says, the voice of the Lord flashes forth flames of fire. Psalm 18 says, the Lord thundered in the heavens, and the Most High uttered his voice, hailstones and coals of fire. And he sent out his arrows and scattered them. Then he flashed forth lightnings and routed them. The voice of the Lord falls from heaven like a devastating hail of arrows. Lightning rains down upon his foes and he devours them like fire. Yes, congregation, the voice of the Lord is itself a powerful weapon. In Jeremiah 23:29, God asks, is not my word like fire, declares the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces? Christians are told to take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And Revelation chapter 1 describes the Lord Jesus Christ in this way. His voice was like the roar of many waters. From his mouth came a sharp, two-edged sword. And the power of this weapon, the mighty voice of the Lord, is such that like lightning, it could strike without warning at any second. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 26 and 27 say, if we go on sinning deliberately after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a fearful expectation of judgment and a fury of fire that will consume the adversaries. Friend, one day that lightning will strike. One day the word of God shall come for you. And on that day, it will be too late to repent. Hebrews 9:27 says, it is appointed for man to die once, and after that comes judgment. There are no do-overs. Are you ready to meet your God? Thankfully, judgment is not the only way in which the voice of the Lord flashes forth like flames of fire. Once again, Spurgeon writes, flames of fire attend the voice of God in the gospel, illuminating and melting the hearts of men. By these he consumes our lusts and kindles in us a holy flame of ever-inspiring love and holiness. Psalm 19, verse 8 says, the commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. Zechariah 13:9 says, I will put this remnant into the fire and refine them as one refines silver and test them as gold is tested. They will call upon my name and I will answer them. I will say they are my people, and they will say the Lord is my God. Friends, this is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe. We experience the voice of the Lord far differently than the unbeliever does, not in the fearful expectation of judgment, but in the joyful expectation of eternal glory in Jesus Christ, our Savior. Well, going on, verse 8 says, the voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. Kadesh is where Israel had stopped on their journey from Sinai to Canaan. And why does David mention the place? Well, David wants us to see the great range of this storm. It began in the Mediterranean. It swept through Lebanon and Syrian in the far north. And now it makes its way even to Kadesh in the great south. Thus, the voice of the Lord reaches throughout the whole earth. His voice shakes even desolate places, spiritual wildernesses previously devoid of any knowledge of God. He pours out his spirit from on high, and as the scripture says, the wilderness is shaken. The wilderness becomes a fruitful field. Church, this is our confident hope and prayer. As we sing in Psalm 22, the ends of all the earth shall hear and turn unto the Lord in fear. In Psalm 67, verses 1 through 3, may God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face to shine upon us, that your way may be known on earth, your saving power among all nations. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. And thus we pray for people throughout the world, that the word of God may come to them, that they might be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. We pray for their salvation. And yet the Lord also brings judgment throughout the whole earth. Revelation 1:7 says, "Behold, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. No one will escape on the day of our Lord's appearing." Look at the second line of verse 9. His voice strips the forests bare. When Christ returns, there will be nowhere for you to hide. In Genesis 3, Adam and his wife attempted to hide from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Yet it did them no good because God was able to see right through those trees. However, when you appear before him, there will be no trees to hide behind, for he rips them right out of the ground. He strips the forests bare. Only one tree will suffice, the tree where Christ was crucified. Friend, are you prepared for the coming day on which you shall meet your God? But there's something else the voice of the Lord does which seems a little odd. Look now at the beginning of verse 9. The voice of the Lord makes the deer give birth. What is this all about? Well, Spurgeon explains, these timid creatures in deadly fear of the tempest drop their burdens in an untimely manner. And so this builds on the imagery we've seen throughout Psalm 29. The voice of the Lord strikes fear into God's creatures, strikes fear into God, to man. The voice of the Lord is what frightened Adam in the garden. Genesis 3:8 says, "And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God." They were terrified by the voice of the Lord. And so are these deer who prematurely go into labor. But this is a rather interesting picture for David to use because it forces us to think not only of fear, but it also sends our minds to the thought of new life, which comes to us how? By the voice of the Lord. You see, the voice of the Lord not only has the power to scare the living daylights out of us, the voice of the Lord also has the power to give you new life. Think of Genesis 1. In the beginning, how did God create? And God said, "Let there be light." And God said, "Let the earth sprout vegetation." And God said, "Let the waters swarm with swarms of living creatures." Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness." See, it was by his powerful word that he created life in the beginning. And it is by his powerful word that he is able to give you new life, even today. This he does through his Son, Jesus Christ, who is the living word. John chapter 1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." God sent the Word, his Son, to save us, to give us new life, to make us to be born again. As Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 5:17, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. By his powerful voice, the Lord calls the dead to life. He truly creates life in us by uniting us to himself so that we cannot help but respond to his voice, crying, "Glory. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing." And so now the storm has passed through. The earth has been shaken. But God is not shaken. God is never shaken. Look at verse 10. The Lord sits enthroned over the flood. The Lord sits enthroned as King forever. What is His posture? He is seated, calm, collected, unmoved. He is King over all. As Spurgeon writes, no deluge can undermine the foundation of His throne. He is calm and unmoved, however much the deep may roar and be troubled. His government rules the most unstable and boisterous of created things. Far out on the wild waste of waters, Jehovah plants His footsteps in the sea and rides upon the storm. For He is King. He is King even over the flood. He reigns even over all the mighty waters that look so terrifying to you. He rules over this world, though it is flooded with sin and misery. Though it is full of enemies dead set on doing you harm. They cannot harm God. They cannot hinder His purpose or His plans. And they cannot ultimately harm you who trust in Him. Isaiah 17:13 says, the nations roar like the roaring of many waters, but He will rebuke them, and they will flee far away, chased like chaff on the mountains before the wind and whirling dust before the storm. On the other hand, in Isaiah 43:2, God says, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. Why not? Because of who your Lord is. For to us, a child is born. To us, a son is given, and the government shall be upon His shoulder, and His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of peace. And therefore, when those rising floodwaters threaten to overwhelm you, listen up. Listen and hear His voice thundering above the waters. Listen to His voice which pierces through every storm presently afflicting your soul. For He makes Himself heard at all times in every circumstance you face. Be still and listen to Him. Know that He is King forever. Know that His word shall never fail. And know that He helps you. How does He help us? By His word. Verse 11. May the Lord give strength to His people. May the Lord bless His people with peace. First, He gives you strength. He sends a word of reassurance, a word reminding you of who your God is, that you might take courage and fight this battle in the strength He provides. Look, friend, if this God is for you, then who can stand against you? He who completely conquered your greatest enemy, the guilt of your sins, is He not strong enough to conquer all your other enemies? So, friend, take courage and let the joy of the Lord be your strength. Second, He gives you peace, even when you face the mighty tempest. And to see this, let us turn in our Bibles to read Mark chapter 4, verses 35 through 41. It's on page 839, Mark chapter 4, verses 35 through 41. Mark 4, 35. On that day, when evening had come, He said to them, let us go across to the other side. And leaving the crowd, they took Him with them in the boat, just as He was. And other boats were with Him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat, so that the boat was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him and said to him, Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? And he awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. He said to them, Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith? And they were filled with great fear and said to one another, Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? Psalm 89 says, O Lord God of hosts, who is mighty as you are? O Lord, with your faithfulness all around you, you rule the raging of the sea. When its waves rise, you still them. Friend, this is your God. This is your Savior. This is the power of His glorious Word. So trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will have peace, both now and forevermore. Amen. Let us pray. Our glorious Lord and God, we thank you for your powerful word, which has swept over us this day. We pray that it would leave a lasting mark in each of our lives by the power of your Holy Spirit. Change us, move us, shake us, burn away our sin, and strengthen us from now on to live for you. We acknowledge that you alone are sovereign. You sit enthroned over the flood. For while all the world around us churns and foams and rages, you stand ever firm and unmoved. Please constantly build us up in Jesus Christ upon the solid rock. Grant that we might trust in him alone to be our firm foundation. And when the world threatens to drown out your voice, grant us grace to be still and know that you are God. And give us ears to hear your voice still thundering over the many waters. Bless us by your word with the strength and peace that are found only in you. Be with us now as we return to our homes. May we cling to your word all throughout this week. Please return us to your next Lord's Day safely that we might again worship you and cry out, Soli Deo Gloria. We ask all these things in our Savior Jesus' most precious name. Amen.